right here, so. Oh, we topped it. Whoa, he cold topped it.
Okay. Gotta get up. Yeah.
Big iron. Oh, shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.
Welcome to the Bogey Boys podcast.
Well, hey, woo!
You're joined here by Mark and Kevin. As you can hear, there's a female voice in the background here, Mrs. Hannah Bowen. How are we?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for asking me to be part of this podcast. I'm really excited to chat to you.
You asked us
to join.
Oh, that's what we're going with. Okay. You know what? I'm not getting enough interaction with people these days. We're all in sort of a random lockdown or crazy bubbles. Anything that I can get, I'll take.
You
come to the right place.
Yeah,
definitely. So how's things, Hannah? Okay?
Yeah, everything's okay with me. Still working currently up till Christmas, but then we've got a lockdown, so cross fingers it won't be a long one, but I'm just preparing for that really.
Where are you there, Hannah?
I'm actually in a golf range. I work in a golf range in Aberdeen. It's lovely here. So I'm sat inside. I've just done a lesson. I got one this afternoon. I'm trying to get everyone in ready for Christmas, although it's been a weird one. You get somebody booked in, somebody then cancels because they've been in contact with somebody with COVID. So it's all sort of weird gaps here, there and everywhere. We've had restrictions. So I feel like I'm a child now. Not ever, everything closes at 6. So you've got to get your days going, started early.
Get it all packed in there, yeah, definitely. Well, no, as we said there, we appreciate you coming on and taking the time to speak to us and things. Obviously, we've done a professional route now. We're about 7 or 8 episodes in, and the idea is just to give any amateurs up and coming and any people who are looking to turn pro a bit of insight as to what it takes.
Yeah, just don't do it. No.
That's the consensus we're getting across the board, that, yeah.
Oh Christ, oh, great. So at least you're getting a general...
general theme, yeah.
Yeah.
But for those who do want to do it, the idea is obviously just to get him... just to get a bit of insight from you as to what it takes to become a professional. Obviously, the route that you take, a bit of talk about your amateur career and how that was and what it's like being a female growing up in the golfing world as well. Any challenges you have to face from the back of that. So we normally tend with these episodes to start with obviously how it all started for you in the beginning. So obviously when you started playing golf, how old was you when you picked up the clubs and what was your motivation to play in? And just talk us through that.
Fab. So I started when I was 13. My dad basically had a friend who played golf at the local golf club. So he didn't play himself. I mean, it is a very expensive sport. We all know this. He had a friend who played. They would do it, run into like kids camp type thing where get kids involved in golf. I'm a bit of a joiner. I like to join clubs. I mean, I was in football, rugby. I was in sewing. Chamber choir, I can't sing a note, but I'd do it.
Sewing?
Yeah, sewing. Hey, I'm a dab hand. If anybody needs any holes to be stitched up, I can get them done for you, no problem. might need to go into it during the lockdown. Earn a bit of cash.
I'll send you a few pairs of me old jeans there.
So yeah, I was in all kinds of groups. I'm a joiner. I'm one of those people, just wants to make friends and join clubs. I joined golf. So it was an awkward one though, because my friends all did sort of karate and stuff like that, but I'm quite delicate. So, you know, karate, rugby and stuff, they weren't quite my scene. I used to get my hair pulled, stuff like that. So golf was the safest bet.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I loved it. It's one of the only sports that you don't need to be coordinated. You don't need to start with any form of skill because it's all self-taught. It's all learned. And you can literally have a handicap. So you don't even have to be the best at it. Anyone can play because... of that sort of route, that sort of thing about it. It's if you can learn it. And that's what I loved about it. I didn't have to be naturally good. I wasn't naturally good, I'll be honest. So I was able to learn and put effort into sort of playing, and you can get good that way instead of just hand-eye coordination, that kind of thing, being a normal thing for us.
Yeah, definitely. Well, how good were you then when you first started? Like you say, were you struggling and you just put the effort in and got to a decent level after how long?
I mean, I was better at it than most of the other sports I'd done. So, you know, netball and all that, I was literally awful. They used to put me as goalkeeper because we all know goalkeeper is like the worst position. They'd be like, oh yeah, just have her as goalkeeper. She doesn't need to do anything then. We won't put her on the field. So with golf, it was sort of, to be honest with you, I teach now and it's quite funny. I think, yeah, there's so many different elements of the game. You're going to find one that you're better at than others and vice versa. So I've always loved putting. Well, okay, I'm going to say I always loved putting. I always loved putting as a youngster. As I've got older, it's become harder. I think about it too much. But as a youngster, I just love putting. So that was my skill that I was really good at. And then the other bits, you just sort of try to do to get there. So it was that kind of thing. So not natural, put it that way. But I enjoy it. And yes, I worked hard to get better and better. And it's addictive. I don't care what anyone says. You get reeled in because you hit one good shot and you're like, I've got this. Duff the next one.
Reels you in, doesn't it, every time? It's like you can have the worst game ever, 8-7-6s all over your card, and you make that one birdie on like 16 and you're back the next day.
It's unreal. So yeah, that was me. That was me just enjoying it. Plus it's fresh air and you get up for like 5-6 hours, and I'm a talkative person. Somebody is stuck in my company for 5 hours, they have to talk to me. I don't care. They have to have a conversation. So it was a really good social thing as well. You got to make friends really quickly. And, you know, that side of it also was fantastic for me as a youngster.
When you're saying that you're making friends, with any females when you joined the golf clubs in Wales, or is it were you solo?
We do a lot of schemes in Wales. And obviously I do a lot of them now. But yeah, when I started, there was, because they were trying to get women and girls into the game. I started with a group of girls. So there was a lot of us to start. They all dwindled out, I've got to be honest. None of them play now. But yeah, I started with a big group of girls. So it's a shame that we couldn't retain them for long enough to carry on the sport. But I suppose I'm trying to do it now. I'm trying to get more females into the game. I'm trying to do sort of new to golf sessions. And I'm trying to think of ways to retain females into the game. It's tough. I suppose there's still the concept of young girls want to go dance and they want to go to drama or they want to go to sewing, and so they want to do both sides of it.
So talk us about that then. So what is that you're doing at the moment?
So in Wales we do something called new to golf. I always find it really funny because I say new to golf to any of the pros in England or anywhere else, and they're like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, I just assume everyone does the same scheme. But we run a lot of new to golf schemes, which means that we run 6-week programs. You can run them as you like, but how I do it, I like to give females the opportunity, so it's free. They come and join for free, all funded by the Golf Union of Wales, which is fab, and they get 6 weeks of free coaching with either myself or another pro. And you run the session. So I start off with putting and work my way putting, chipping, pitching, bunker play, long game, then on the course. So you get a taste of all the different elements of golf. And I teach them two or three different ways to play each shot. So I know that there's no set in golf. There's always a little bit of a quirk you can change to play a shot a certain way. So yeah. I give them two or three ways to play it, and they get to make a choice which one they preferred, what they like the most about that shot. So that there's that choice element and like which clubs they're allowed to play, that kind of thing. Yeah. I run that, and then we go into so I start that with 6 weeks, and then we do start charging people after the 6 weeks, get them either in as members, which they get cheap membership. So memberships range from like 30 quid to 100 for like a year membership or a couple of months, depending on what the club sort of agrees to do. And then I offer sessions where we go over different elements of the game again, but we focus more on abnormalize. So playing with the ball below the feet, ball above the feet, that kind of thing. Trying to have a little go with a flop shot. That's always a fun session, I'll be honest with you. That kind of session.
Fan of when me and Kev go for the game, we always have fun with the flop shots. Kev nearly takes the ankle out, don't you?
Who's that? Like, actually look around. So yeah, we have a bit of fun. And it's always, and we run loads of like camps. So I'm quite, I like doing things a little bit differently. So like Halloween, I like doing a Halloween session. I think it's really cool. Christmas, I run Christmas sessions. And I'm working on, I don't know if you've seen I'm a Celebrity. I'm working on a I'm a Celebrity sort of session where we do bush tucker trial type things, and we get a way to make a start. Just little bits of fun like that. I mean, I love the sort of the funny and fun side of golf. I think we're too serious. Every golfer I've ever met is like, oh, this is such a serious sport. We should do it. No.
Yeah, you have fun with
that
it.
That doesn't get people in. Let's play. Let's be pirates for the day. Like, come on, come to my session. I've got pirate hats and inflatables. And, you know, oh, let's go and pretend we're in Hawaii.
When's the next one of them?
Do you want to come down?
Yeah.
which actually I had lots of plans. So February was going to win. We would start in all this. And we had a Christmas session that I couldn't actually run because of COVID, just gone. So I'm all prepared for next year. Don't worry. I'm now a year in advance. But we are going to be running everything hopefully in February and then go from there. So you'll see everything that I will be running on like my social media and that. And we invite everyone.
Good stuff.
Free for all.
Yeah, definitely will. We'll
you might have to wear a wig though, because it's meant for ladies. So we'll see. You might have to. I've got a skirt you could borrow, but you might have to come down with a wig. Actually, I've got a few extensions you could clip in. I've got the whole set. You'd be fine.
Hey, look at that.
He's prepared.
You've got matching hair.
As if there was a wig on the side there and you just said that.
Whoa, I can't believe that. That's psychic. It's like we planned this. We actually did it. I hope nobody thinks we planned
it. I know, yeah. It's all set up. Yeah, there's your cue, Kevin. Unbelievable. So then obviously going back to your game then, you started joining as an amateur and your friends have obviously left it and you've carried on. When did you get to the point where you started really getting competitive with it and the fun, obviously the fun's still there, but you're thinking, you know what, I'm actually good at this game. I'm going to start entering competitions and how did that go?
I've always been competitive, I'll be honest with you. Since I started, I want to win at all costs. No, maybe not at all costs. But I'm like the Monopoly board flipper. If I'm losing at Monopoly, I'm done. Competitive. And so with golf, I went straight into sort of playing competitions. I wanted to get a handicap as soon as I could. So I basically had a handicap straight away. It wasn't a good one, and I was still shooting in the hundreds. But I wanted to play as much as I could, get my handicap down, and I did start playing as competitively as I could. I did stuff like Junior European Open and stuff like that. I actually qualified for that. I went there. I loved that tournament. Actually, now that I brought that up, was actually where I really decided I wanted to become a pro. So I did the Junior European Open, qualified for it. Didn't think I would because I was underdog. Qualified for it, was like, yeah, got this.
There we go.
Went to Spain, played the Junior European. I think in seventh in the end, and even had like a 9 on one of the holes. It was incredible. So how we did it was two rounds, and then a cut. So we did two rounds. It was in Alcadesa. Oh God, now my pronunciation sounds awful, but it was in Spain. I'm just gonna say Spain. We did two rounds on one course, two rounds on another course in Spain, and then La Finca was our final. So if you made the cut, you went to La Finca, and I made the cut to go there, and then I made the cut to La Finca. So it was like, I think it was something like 16 of us in La Finca, and it was hard. They said, actually, they wrote a disclaimer which said, this is not a holiday. And I took my sister with me, so she became my caddy for the week. We both broke down like halfway through the week, going, they're right, this is not a holiday, this is boot camp, this is boot camp. We were expecting, like, you know, we'll go on the beach, we'll have a little sunny time. She was like, no, this is boot camp. We ended up making our own tea, we're having to follow convoys at 6 o'clock in the morning. It was tiring. There was a moment where, you know, we had. The klaxon goes off, so we had really bad weather, and there was me and the other girl I was playing with, so delayed play. We had to finish our round in the dark. We had this situation where they told us we should hire buggies because it was like one of the hilliest courses ever. And we were like, oh, is it? Yeah, we'll hire a buggy. We were loving life. We put everything on this buggy now. My sister's handbag, my handbag. We've shoved my golf clubs in. It's a big bag, this kind of thing. It conks out on, I think it was something like the 12th. And this is before we've got to do the 3-mile walk to the next tee up this hill through a rickety bridge. And my sister just looks at me and we just look at each other. She became a human buckaroo at that moment and had everything on her back climbing this hill to the next tee. I don't know how she did it. But it was, so that was the moment, that trip. And I think I actually say it in an interview I had with them. I said, like, this made me realize I want to do golf and I hopefully come back to that course one day.
I thought that would make you realize you didn't want to do it.
You know what? Yeah, I know. I explained that really badly.
It sounds like hell.
It was, honestly. No, but you know what? It was the fact that I wanted to do so well. So yes, the trip was, it was boot camp, but it was
an eye-opener.
Yeah, it made me realize how tough it would be as a full-time professional, what I'd have to go through. So I was already thinking about becoming pro. And then that was kind of like, well, I can do this. We did this. We've done boot camp now. We know exactly what to expect next time. And I just, I loved it, to be fair. I loved I love, you know, the other side of it, meeting all the different people from different areas of the world. It was, you know, coming together, getting to play competitively. The difference between that was that it was a lot friendlier than the rounds I play now. I mean, they are very intense, what I play now. I'll be honest with anyone. I'm not an intense person, as you may have already guessed. So the fact that, you know, some people won't talk to you for 5 hours now, is it kills me. It kills me. And I still try. I still pop in the odd question to get no response. sometimes it's because they can't speak full English, but I still try.
Yeah.
I'll have a chat about you. It's fine.
What was your off day, Hannah, when you were at that junior open experience health camp?
You know what? I have a health camp. I can't remember my handicap. I was a single figures. You know what? This sounds awful, but everyone always asks me about my sort of, that's the only trip I can remember. I did loads of golf. I did loads of golf tournaments. That's the only one I can remember because of my sister being there and it being, and so many random stuff happening to us, like our buggy breaking down, her being back a row.
But yeah,
everyone always asks about your journey in golf. But when you're in it full time, you almost forget it. I almost can't, like.
You're living in the moment, aren't you? Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing.
You'll be pleased to know you're not the first person that couldn't remember their amateur career anyway. So
I can't remember my pro career. This is still happening. Don't ask me anything about that. Christ sake.
We'll have to. It's the professional. You know, it's what you've signed up for.
I know. Hey, my career hasn't started yet. You wait. A couple of years' time, senior tour. We'll be all good.
That's it. Yeah. Well, you've got the Bogey Boys blessing as well, because every time someone comes on, they always have a good event afterwards. So.
Oh, that's great. So that means my cancelled COVID events are going to be good. Yeah. The ones that aren't currently happening.
There you go.
Awesome. Try not to play until it's something big coming up.
Hey,
don't use the blessing.
I won't. Yeah, this will be it. People will be like, have you practiced before this? Nah, I've got the Bogey's Boy blessing. I don't want to ruin that on a little comp with Roy down in Swansea Bay. I've got to actually do this right.
Wait for the open, yeah?
Yeah, I haven't practiced all year, but it's all right, guys. I've got this.
Brilliant. So how old are you as well then? So it's obviously a girls tournament at that age, a junior one, is it? And how old are you?
How old was I? I don't know how old I was doing that. But all I remember, I could tell you, I turned pro. So when I was 18, I turned pro. So that was 2015, I started my PGA. So yeah. That's the only thing I can remember. So I've got that nailed. Oh, I only remember that because I remember signing up for it, that kind of thing. And that, I've got my first ever PGA card. So I've been pro, I'm 24 now. I've been a qualified professional because I did training, which was 3 years. I've been a qualified professional now for 3 years. Yeah.
So what made you make the decision to do the PGA route and not the playing route then? Was it, you always wanted to be the coaching side and do the qualifications, or?
I'd be lying to you if I said I didn't want to. I want to play. Everyone wants to play. We're all bullshitting you if we say we got into this because we wanted to become coaches. That's a lot of crap. We got into it because we want to play. But something I realized when I started the course, I was quite young doing the course. Everyone who was starting the course tended to be somebody who had already tried to play and had maybe realized it was harder than they thought. They need a backup plan. They want to quit their current job as like a painter or decorator, and they just want to focus on golf. So I did it the opposite way. I thought, do you know what? If I do the degree first and have my backup set in stone, then I can play and be able to, and do golf, what I love, like all day, every day. It's my job and my job. That didn't come out quite right. My playing job and my...
Yeah, and your career.
So I get to do both. Like, I get to do both. So I went into it really young, so I'd have that. Plus, just want to say, the PGA degree is expensive. To me, it's expensive. And so I did it as my first ever degree because I got funding from Wales, so I could do that. Whereas if I had done it as a second degree, then one, I would have wasted another 4 years, I mean, or whatever, doing a degree that I wasn't going to get into. So I could have done history or something, do like history, but it wasn't going to happen. I'd have ended up doing golf anyway. So what's the point in wasting those extra 4 years? And then I'd have to pay $4,000 a year to be part of Birmingham University. No, thank you. So I just did it as my full sort of degree and just got it out of the way. 3 years done.
So how does that work in Wales as well, then? Because obviously the thing you just said there, we had a guy on from Scotland who said the same thing. Obviously up in Scotland, they introduced the PGA event, the PGA qualification, and their government funded it. But in the UK, you don't get funded at all. You just have to go to Belfry. You get funded in the UK.
I think you get funded. England, you can get funded as well. I'm sure you can get funded for your degree. So you use it as your degree. So instead of We don't get funded by like Gough, you know, Wales, that kind of thing. We get funded as my degree. So because I went to Birmingham University, it was my first ever degree. So as long as it's your first ever degree, you can get funding from whatever government can give you funding.
Everyone we've had on has already done a degree in my school.
So that's why they can't get funding. Whereas they were silly. Should have gone and done it my way. And then you wouldn't have wasted. So that's what I'd say to anybody wanting to do it. Don't wait. If you're going to do it, do it. Don't waste your time trying to play beforehand. Do it when you're in a schooling mind frame as well. It's hard. It's a degree. You have to do assignments and it's all self-timed and paced. So you have to get everything done yourself. So it's better to be in a mind frame where you already have done school or you've just come out of college or, you know, that way it doesn't feel as tough doing assignments and moving on to the next level. So I'd say do it first because you're in that mind frame, you're used to doing assignments and you're used to school. Plus, you know, after your 3 years, you're done. Yeah. So you know that never have to do education again unless you want to go in to become, I don't know, director of golf or whatever. But who does that? I want to apologize to any directors of golf who are watching.
So obviously at that point then you've qualified as a PGA professional. And then so what's happened from there then moving forward? Is you've just become looking for a job either, or have you gone back to playing straight away?
Always looking for a job, you know. If something can hear me, mum, no. So when I qualified, so at the same time, I was working in a golf club and obviously I was teaching, I was coaching. I had actually three jobs. I was working for a company called European Golf Challenge. They did corporate events. So I did a lot of corporate events for them. It's like Beat the Pros. Loved that job. Loved my boss in that as well. She's fantastic. So that job I love. And I was an assistant. So I had a really good supportive club. That meant that I got a bit of time off to play. I mean, not practice. I mean, to just go and enter tournaments.
Yeah.
I was barely practicing in between going to enter tournaments because I still wanted to play full time. Something you'll know about me, even if I can't play very well, I will play tournaments just purely because I don't want to become one of those coaches or golf people that don't play anymore and end up hating the game. I've determined that even when I'm like 90 and a golf coach, I'm still going to be 19 and a golf coach, that I am going to be still playing because I think it's really important. How can I go and tell people what to change in their swing and to put in these changes that are really sometimes hard and quite crucial if I don't know how it feels to do that to myself and in my own game, you know, and I don't know what it's like to play full time. So I think it's really important that I remember what it's like to play because then I can relate to everyone who comes to me and wants to be taught or stuff like that. So I was still playing. I was teaching. I was working in a shop full time selling Mars bars. So I was doing all of that, and while trying to play, and that was for my full sort of six years of being a PGA professional. I hadn't really done a lot abroad because it's very expensive, and I didn't have a lot of the money back in is really important. Something I have realized this last year is how expensive tournaments are. They're like $2,000 a tournament. So it is very, very expensive. And you have to literally go, well, that's $2,000 that I'm never getting back. Because if you don't think of it like that, then Christ, you're going to be really upset when the $2,000 doesn't come back and you've just spent it all and haven't made a cut and bloody hell, you know, and it's not a holiday. Like I said, it's boot camp. So you're like, I've just spent $2,000 on boot camp when I can spend $2,000 in the Caribbean sipping pina coladas. So you have to look at it. You have to look at it that way. And so I wasn't really going abroad. I was staying sort of locally playing in tournaments in the UK. And then I got a really good opportunity. So I did the Celebrity Cup, which is something that we do in the Celtic Manor here. And I met, I don't know if you've heard of Mrs. Brown's Boys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I met Brendan and Jenny, and I caddied for Jenny a couple of times now. And they could see I was working like a dog. I was slogging away trying to like do bits. So they actually gave me a really good opportunity where they sponsored me some money to play to help me with my playing for this year. Unfortunately, then COVID hit. It's like seems to be that whenever something, my sister thinks it's me and her friends because obviously I had got this sponsorship to so I could play this full year. Her friend is getting married, so she thinks it's us that have caused this pandemic because it's clearly our bad luck. That when something good is about to happen in our lives, something else goes. But no, so they've been really helpful in support and financially giving me a bit of money. So it helped me not having to do as many jobs. Unfortunately, because I haven't been earning money because of COVID, that has helped, but it hasn't had the impact that it would have had if I was still able to work. And, you know, I'm not earning any money myself anyway. So that's just been my money to sort of help. But yeah, they were fab. So they've given me this like opportunity. So hopefully that money I can use there next year to play a few more tournaments abroad. Well, depending if we can go abroad, obviously, I'm not going to risk it. I'm not getting COVID. No. What's 1 year of not playing and having many more years of playing, you know? So hopefully play a couple of tournaments abroad and go from there. But I did play in the Justin Rose series this year, which was fab. So that was one of the best sort of series I've did. Although it was hard. We did it when sort of hotels and that was shut. So for the first couple of events we were staying, We stayed in our cars. Yeah. So we
slept
in our cars. Yeah. Nobody knows this because I think we try and pretend, you know, play it all cool. Yeah. We didn't sleep in our cars. We woke up like this, like that kind of thing. I don't know. We stayed in our cars. And if you'd seen us at like 6 a.m, getting into the club so we could like get ready for the tournament. Yeah. So we did a little bit of that. I stayed with my friend. Some of them then. My friend Nick lives in London, so I stayed with her, and she was playing in the tournaments too. But it was hard; it was grueling, and we were. I obviously don't live anywhere near these events, so the travel for me was like driving miles coming to the event, then staying with your friend on like a blow-up bed. It's just not. It's tough. We were physically and mentally like drained, if that makes sense, and we were working full time as well. So. When everything sort of opened up again, we started working, and she was fab. She did me a solid, so I helped out with her club because obviously Wales was a bit behind. We're not behind in anything else, but COVID we have been. Wales was a bit behind, and we were closed for a little bit longer. So I ended up to earn a bit more money to help pay for the Justin Rose series. She did me a solid, and I ended up working with her on her junior camps in London, so that was fab. So I got a little bit there, but it was like I said, we were working, we were playing. It was hard, it was tough, it was grueling, but it was loved it. Wouldn't have changed it for the world. Like it was fab.
Hey Hannah, just going back a little bit there, do you know, because you're a good sewer, why don't you sew Mrs. Brown's head onto your bag as like part of the sponsorship deal?
When I say I'm good at sewing, I use the word very loosely. Good as you, Lucy. It's like when I mean good at sewing, I mean like I can fix a hole, or I can like stitch like a patch onto something that's broken. I mean, you do not want to see my cross stitch. Something I bought during COVID because I thought, boom, I'm gonna be doing all these cross stitches. Everyone's gonna be like, she's really good at this. Worst thing I've ever done in my life. Try and cross stitch, and I'm gonna give this as a challenge. Try and cross stitch white onto a white background. It was tiny. It's not on. Give it a go.
I'm gonna do that tonight.
He's
definitely not gonna do that tonight.
Definitely not, but I will do it. Yeah, I promise you I will do it before Christmas.
No, send me your cross stitch. Why don't you cross stitch me Mrs. Brown's logo for my bag online?
I will.
I want to see that. I can't wait to see that.
That's in
the
post.
All in white.
So when you were just mentioning there, obviously when you finished your PGA Pro, and obviously you weren't getting time to practice because you were working. Do you think was that what you expected out of it? Because I know you said there at the beginning the reason you wanted to do it early was to give yourself that time to get the qualification out the way, put that behind you, and then go on to play.
Yeah. It was so people had you've talked to a lot of people who have done it previously when you go into it, and some people do say the whole, but you usually get bad stuff from people. Oh, I'm saying it now, and I haven't said anything good about the PGA so far. But you tend to get like, oh no, I didn't get to do this, I didn't get to that. I expected that I'd have less time to play because I was doing a full-time degree, I was working full-time, and I was having to shoot to qualify. This is how it worked. It's changed now because I think it changes every year, and I think they've lost the play inside of it. So when I started, you had to do a playability test. Then when you eventually got in, you had to do your degree. You had to, and all your exams and stuff like that. And there was lots of assignments a month. It was crazy. And then you had to work your full-time job. So you had to do at least 30 hours a week. And we did up to 60 hours a week because of the job, because I needed the money and because of the job. What the job required. You earn a minimum wage. Just want to put that out there. Yay. And when I started, because actually I just realized, maybe that's the only downside for starting so early. So when I started early, I was earning £5.30 because I was an apprentice. £5.30 an hour.
Wow.
Being an apprentice and being so young, because I'd started doing it so early. So that's the only negative there. But then you're trying to shoot, at the time, it was something like 7 scores. You've got to play in a certain amount of tournaments a year, and you have to shoot 7 scores under a certain score, essentially.
Yeah, criteria. Yeah,
there's a criteria that you needed to do. I mean, they're not doing that anymore, but it was grueling. It was hard. So you're on your game going backwards because you're not putting enough effort and time into playing anymore, which, yeah. Whereas you're an amateur. Every amateur says you've got the job of a lifetime. It's a dream. And I always do that. Oh, yeah, I love my job. But in actual fact, I want to say, look, you try making the job that you do now your hobby. Like it doesn't work. So even if you've got to have that, so their hobby is now golf. So yeah. That's their escape from their job. Now my job is golf, therefore I don't now have an escape from my job unless I do something other than golf.
Yeah.
Yet my job involves talking to people about golf every day and working in the golf industry as well as trying to play. It's hard. It's almost too much golf. I'll be honest with you right here, and people will probably, I'll have other pros go, oh, geez, I don't watch any golf. Don't watch any of it. Masters, don't want to know. Don't care.
Wow.
Hey, you know, if you want to keep up to date on what's happening in the golf, you just listen to the Bogey Boys podcast. We'll keep you informed.
That is
you
true.
Know what? All I need is little bits. Like thing is, you can blag it as well. And the members come in and tell you about it. So I don't even have to know. So what the first member will come in and say, so-and-so did this, this, and this. I've got that for the rest of the day to speak to the other members.
But like, yeah. You see, you've got it sussed. You fit perfect on our podcast, to be fair.
So Hannah, right, you went to Hell Boot Camp. You slept in your car at the Justin Rose series and you hate golf, basically. Have you got any like positive stories about golf or what?
Do you know what? I hate golf. No, do you know what? It's become my life. So when something becomes your life, you have to be ready for other things to sort of come into it too. So it's so intense that you have to almost take look at it in three different sort of ways, if that makes sense. It's for me, it's intense.
Yeah.
I don't love it as much as I did as an amateur. I'll tell anybody that. And I think most pros have had the same consensus. I loved it a lot more as an amateur.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm a lot happier going to the golf course every day and working at the golf course than I know I would be sat behind a desk in some company going, oh, what could have been, although I'd have earned more money doing that, and I would have financially been a little bit more secure. I still wouldn't be as happy as I am going to the golf course every day and knowing that, wow, I play this sport for a living, and knowing that I can travel the world with it, and I get to technically do something I love every day. But when, you know, it's a fine line between love and hate, is the honest truth. You all know this.
So obviously, advice for any young, like, because we're going to try and get more women listeners onto the podcast. The advice is just stick at, as an amateur, when you pick up the clubs and you do the introduction to golf thing, just stick at it.
Do you know what I'd say more than anything? Enjoy it. If you don't enjoy it, don't do it. Gotta love it. If you don't love it, then all the other bits, the bad bits I've told you about, they're gonna kill you. So if you love it as much as sort of I did, even these bad things I'm telling you now, they don't mean nothing. They don't mean jack. They're like, look, whatever, because you still love it. So they're good stories to tell your friends, but they're not anything that makes you want to not play it. I've had the worst rounds of my entire life and I still come off the course and go, yeah, I'm gonna still do this, I'm still gonna carry on this. If it's not ladies European tour, it's gonna be ladies senior tour. I've got this. I don't care. And ladies senior tour, I got like 30 years to prepare. Like, I'm totally cool with this. I got plenty of time. So I'd say just, you've got to love it. Anybody going into to start off playing golf, I know I've heard a lot of, we get a lot of sticks. So there's a lot out there that says there's not a lot for women. There's a lot more for women than everyone likes to admit. And I think more importantly, there's a lot more for women than we as PJ professionals get credit for. Like, we run, so many of us run free classes for women and run different schemes to get women into the game and girls into the game. We give up our time to get them in and try and retain them as members. So never think that there's not something out there for you. I think the best thing to do is find like a coaching group that you can join and do it with other women.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing better than having others to like fall back on and have a bit of camaraderie with.
There's something out of
having a friendship group in golf and being able to go and do the same as the men, you know, having the piss up on the and that kind of thing, getting that side of it, you can really enjoy it. So I'd say go to those classes, find those classes and go to them. Also, if you're scared about taking it up, and I think something, try a female coach. I think there's too many people, women as well, who will go to a male coach. But sometimes I'd say female coach can sometimes be less intimidating. And also you can relate, you can talk about things, you know, talk about all kinds of crazy things that have happened to you in your life. And there's more of a friendship there. If you're looking for a coach, you want a friend as well, not just a coach. I mean, yeah. I've had 5 different coaches this year. Yeah, 5. And yet I'm yet to find one that I really click with, that I'm stuck with. So it's tough. You've got to like who you're sort of going to. So really like try that.
Hey, Hannah, do you know when you've done the PGA, how many other girls were on the course?
It was a small amount. Actually, my year, we got told that we had the biggest amount of females graduate. And I swear, so I don't know the exact total, but I swear it must have been top. So we started off with, I think it was like 360 in the full course. This is what we got told. So 360 did the full course. 90 of us in the end graduated from our year group. And I think something like maybe about 6 of them were girls.
Wow.
Right, I see. I thought it would be less. That's bigger numbers than I thought.
Hey, it's not bad, because we actually said there's more females. None of us are from the same area, granted. But there's more females than people think that play and qualify. It's just about looking out there for them. The problem is there isn't a lot to, you know, promote it and also get us retaining and staying in this sport. There's not a lot of sponsorship out there for us. You're more likely to get sponsorship if you are an Instagram influencer than you are if you're a lady PGA professional golfer trying to talk to people each day and teach them and play. And, you know, so there's not a lot out there for us, unfortunately. And companies and stuff don't want to support us. They want to support those other sort of influencers and stuff like that. So
hopefully more exposure like this. And like say, we're speaking to women and obviously you doing what you're doing with the government help that you've got and the schemes that you've got going at the moment, that'll obviously help grow the game and things could change.
It's done wonders. Honestly, the numbers that we've grown to is incredible, but we nobody sees it. And to be honest, most of our schemes are based on women and girls. They're not based on sort of men or they're always based on youngsters, because that's where we want to retain our memberships. But they're all for girls and they're all for women. So we just don't see it. And more importantly, we're too busy out there being active and doing it that we don't show it. So, yeah, I don't show it enough on my social media. And I know other girls are guilty of it as well. All the PGA ladies that I know, we don't show it enough because we're so busy out there doing it that we don't have time to, like, let's Instagram. Everyone get an Instagram picture. You just don't have time. So we're not out there showing it. But I promise everyone, it's there. We're all doing it.
Wait till this episode releases. You're going to have queues down to Cardiff.
I hope so. Look, hey, I've got all the garlands ready. I've got all the Christmas. Like, literally, we can have sessions each week. So, yeah, I hope so.
No, I know you pushed your time because you said you've got another lesson there. So just finally, before you go, if you've got time. So what does, obviously, you've got this sponsorship now. Is that going to carry on for next year? And what are the plans now moving forward? Are you going to do more playing now that you've got that financial backing? Or is it going to be still a bit of both?
It's got to be a bit of both. Unfortunately, it's so expensive. I didn't realize how expensive it was to play abroad that I've got to almost still work and do it. Plus, I love my job, and I'm fully qualified inclusive coach as well. So I want to do a lot of schemes with children and adults who have disabilities. Like, I've done a few already. Yeah, nice. I did like Chinese Autistic Society. That was hard. They didn't speak English either. Just want to say that. And then there was 40.
Wouldn't expect them to.
Yeah, but they were kids between the ages of 12, 4 and 12, and there was 40 of them. And this girl took that session. Yeah.
Bravo.
That was before COVID. Just want to tell everyone before I get any, like, pre-COVID, got to say. And I've done, like, blind golf. The men and women that came to that session, they were fantastic. And they literally lit up my sort of, everything to do with... This, what I've realized by doing this coaching, all the things that I've always said, I can't. There are people out there that have a lot more reason to say I can't and go for it and do it and get out there and put themselves out there. my sister's got severe disabilities, and I thought, you know what, she's never going to be able to do half the things that I've done, so I don't care, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to try and play, I'm going to try and coach, I'm going to do it all. I'm not going to be a one-trick pony. I'm going to do all the bits I can to promote golf, to play golf, and to enjoy golf. Amazing. So that is my plan. I'm not gonna skimp away from it and just pick one thing or say I can't anymore. I'm gonna keep That's going. Good.
Yeah, it's amazing. Wish you the best of luck with it, Defo.
Thank you.
You know, next year we've got the Bogey Boys Golf Day. We're doing a pro am. If you fancy coming up and getting involved, be in March.
Are there gonna be garlands? Is it? Am I gonna be?
Have whatever you want. Yeah.
Yeah. I would love to, but please send me an invite.
Kev's going to bring his wig.
Oh, this is a good... Hey, if my team can all wear wigs, that would be fantastic.
There you go.
So I'm totally up for this. Yeah, I'd love to come. Please let me know when this is.
We will. We'll keep in touch, yeah.
If we're out and about and everything's sorted, definitely. You can count me in.
100%. I appreciate it. And we appreciate
you. Thank you.
And hopefully this episode gives a bit of insight into... obviously the challenges, but also the goodness you can get out of the game and moving forward. Obviously more women will get involved in it.
And also, Hannah, if you know any other women pros that would want to come on and have a little chat, let them know that we're friendly lads.
Definitely.
And we want to just open the game up. They can let more women know that there's opportunities for them, do you know what I mean?
I've definitely got a lot of different women that I know would 100% love to have a chat with you guys. None as fun as me, obviously. But no, I'm joking. But no, I've got some crazy girls that I can contact, and I know that they'd love to promote golf. They're doing it now anyway with everything they did, like I said. So hopefully they can come out and promote it even further.
Perfect. Yeah, put them in touch.
Sounds good.
Definitely. Yeah.
100%. Well, look, we'll let you get to your lesson because I know time's precious, but thanks a lot and appreciate you taking the time to speak to us.
I really appreciate you asking. I've had great fun. It's been nice to interact with other people.
Brilliant. That's good, isn't it? Definitely.
Thank you.
We'll get you on again next year when you're after your season, see how you get on.
Oh, Christ, I could be a different person by then. Not so smiley.
All right, you take care.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Hannah.
Bye-bye. See you later, love.
Thank you.